Welcome to a podcast by OpenTheWord.org, where we discuss a bit of Bible, a bit of life, and a bit of politics.
Over the years, Hollywood movies about Israel's exodus out of Egypt have traditionally portrayed Pharaoh Ramses, who reigned between 1303 and 1213 BC, as the Exodus Pharaoh. However, there is now universal agreement among Bible scholars that it definitely wasn't Ramses, because the Exodus took place centuries before Ramses showed up. Hi, my name is Dean Smith, and in this podcast, I want to recant a previous podcast where I suggested that Pharaoh Amenhotep, who came to power in 1525 BC, was the Pharaoh of the Exodus. We know Amenhotep had a son who died as an infant, and that fit well with the 10th plague, which saw the firstborn in Egypt killed. But there is one verse, yes, one single verse, that completely disqualified Amenhotep, and I miss it. It's really quite sad when you think of it, because Amenhotep's firstborn son dying fit the puzzle perfectly when it came to the death of the firstborn, because we're told that it even struck the Pharaoh's home. But sadly, or very sadly, this single verse tells us that the Exodus did not take place until many years after Amenhotep had died. The Pharaoh of the Exodus ruled sometime between Amenhotep and Ramses. That single verse in Exodus 7, verse 7, tells us that Moses was 80 years old when he led Israel out of Egypt. And as you will see shortly, Amenhotep was long gone when the Hebrews fled Egypt. And in fact, the Bible provides clues as to the identity of the Exodus Pharaoh. We know that Moses spent about 40 years growing up in the Pharaoh's court after the Pharaoh's daughter found him lying in a basket floating on the Nile River. Then he spent the next 40 years working as a shepherd in Midian, when he fled Egypt after killing an Egyptian guard who was beating a Hebrew slave. While in Midian, God called Moses to return to Egypt and take the Hebrews to the promised land. So this leads us to the tricky part. Can we figure out what Pharaoh was in power when Moses was found floating on the Nile River? Because if we can determine that, we only have to add 80 years, and we should be able to calculate what Pharaoh was in power at the time Moses led Israel out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, we are provided with three clues to the identity of this Pharaoh. We read, quote, "Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, otherwise they will multiply, and in the event of war, they will also join those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land.'" Unquote. First, we are told that there was a new king who rose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. According to Colin Dillich, a classic Old Testament commentary, the word new describes something completely different, not newer as in a buying a newer car to replace an older one. It's different in the sense of a semi-trailer tractor versus a small car. The word is used in Judges chapter 5, verse 8, to describe new gods. This is not describing new upgraded versions of old pagan gods, but rather a new, completely different class of gods who were different from Jehovah. Secondly, we're told that this new king had no idea who Joseph or the Hebrews were. With Joseph and his extended family having been invited to live in Egypt by an earlier pharaoh, how is it possible that this new pharaoh suddenly had no idea who Joseph and the Hebrews were? Thirdly, this new pharaoh then decided to put the Hebrews into slavery because he was concerned that they would join with Egypt's enemy if they decided to attack. But the Hebrews had previously been invited to live in Egypt as friends by the previous Pharaoh because of Joseph. Why were they now suddenly considered potential enemies by the new Pharaoh? What happened? What changed? These are all telling statements as they describe a chaotic period in Egypt's history around 1800 BC when the Hyksos successfully invaded Egypt and drove the Egyptian government into the southern half of the Nile Delta. As an occupying force, the Hyksos controlled the northern half of the Delta, when they took over, they kept many of the same traditions and customs of the Egyptians and even used the term Pharaoh to describe their leaders. The Hyksos were Semitic, cousins of the Hebrews. This meant the Hebrews and Hyksos had a similar language and similar culture, and it explains why Joseph was able to eventually become second in charge in Egypt. But that all changed in 5050 BC, when under Pharaoh Ahmose, the Egyptians in the south were finally able to drive the Hyksos out of northern Egypt and regain control of the country. And that is why we are told that there was a new king in Egypt. He was different from the Hyksos pharaohs who had previously sat on the throne. It also explains why Ahmose did not know who Joseph was, and having just driven the Hyksos out of northern Egypt explains why Pharaoh Ahmose was also concerned that the Hebrews, who were culturally similar to the Hyksos, would join the Hyksos if they ever decided to reinvade Egypt. This resulted in Pharaoh Ahmose putting the Hebrews into slavery. It was during Ahmose's reign that Moses ended up being raised by one of the Pharaoh's daughters in the royal court. Now, if Moses was born during the reign of Ahmose, it should be fairly easy to determine who the Pharaoh was 80 years down the road. And it should be fairly easy, except for a couple of things. Though we have a list of pharaohs who ruled Egypt after Ahmose, there are major, and I mean major, disagreements on how long these dynasties lasted. When biographers list how long a particular pharaoh ruled, there is invariably a footnote, you know, a little footnote at the bottom, that the years are contested. Secondly, Moses was not born in 1550, the first year of Pharaoh Ahmose's reign. When Ahmose revealed he was concerned about the Hebrews joining the Hyksos, he first tried to slow their growth by putting them into slavery. When that failed, he then ordered the Hebrew midwives to kill the male babies. When they refused to cooperate, the Pharaoh then ordered the Egyptian army to kill the male babies by throwing them into the Nile River. It was during this final stage that Moses was born. The whole process undoubtedly took years, and the Bible produces one more clue to the Pharaoh's identity that ironically will be important. We know that the Pharaoh was a man, as God told Moses to confront the Pharaoh as, quote, he was walking by the Nile in Exodus chapter 7:15, unquote. So let's start the countdown to 80 years. First, we have Pharaoh Ahmose, who drove the Hyksos out of northern Egypt and ruled between 5050 BC and 1525 BC. He was the new king that rose to power mentioned in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Moses was born during his reign. Ahmose ruled for a total of 25 years. He was followed by his son Amenhotep I, the guy I originally thought was the Pharaoh of the Exodus. Amenhotep ruled 21 years between 1525 and 1504 BC, and was towards the end of his reign that Moses killed the Egyptian guard and fled to Midian. A total of 46 years has now passed. Amenhotep I is followed by Thutmose I. He was probably the son of Amenhotep, but that is not for certain. Thutmose I ruled 13 years between 1506 BC and 1493 BC, a total of 59 years has now passed. Thutmose I is followed by his son Thutmose II. He ruled about 14 years between 1493 BC and 1479 BC, A total of 73 years have now passed, and we're closing in on that magical 80-year mark. When Thutmose II died at around 30 years of age, a very strange thing happens. His wife, Hatshepsut, who was also his half-sister, takes the throne. This is one of the rare occasions a female held the role of Egyptian pharaoh. She ruled 21 years, roughly 21 years, very roughly, between 1479 BC and 1458 BC. Some believe even during Thutmose II's reign, Hatshepsut was the real power behind the Egyptian throne. Though the 80-year marker falls within her reign, we know she was not the pharaoh of the Exodus because we are told that the Exodus pharaoh was a man. Hatshepsut was followed by Thutmose III, and the dates for their two reigns are a bit blurred, as for several years she served as Thutmose III's co-regent until he was finally old enough to rule. In fact, at one point, Hatshepsut declared herself to be pharaoh while at the same time calling Thutmose III the next pharaoh. So based on the 80-year countdown from Pharaoh Thutmose, and since we know that the pharaoh was not a woman, there are only two possible candidates for the, or contenders for the pharaoh of the Exodus, either Thutmose II, who reigned before Hatshepsut, or Thutmose III, who came after. The inherent accuracy problems that comes with dating the reigns of the pharaohs makes both those men possible candidates for the pharaoh of the Exodus. Thutmose III is known as one of Egypt's most powerful rulers and turned Egypt into an international superpower and gained the reputation of being a military genius among modern historians, with some even calling him the Napoleon of Egypt. And we know from the archaeological record that Thutmose III was a great builder, which included the construction of over 50 temples. And of course, construction is a major part of the Exodus story because the pharaoh ordered the Hebrews to find their own straw to construct his bricks. But as we study the two pharaohs, Thutmose II is certainly the most obvious candidate for the Exodus pharaoh. Thutmose II was a minor pharaoh who had few successes internationally, but recent archaeology suggests that he was involved in several construction projects, which fits the biblical narrative. In his book, Old Testament History, famed Bible scholar Alfred Ertesheim makes the case for Thutmose II based on a couple of reasons. First, Thutmose II had a prosperous but brief reign that collapsed very suddenly, which coincides with the Hebrews plundering Egypt of their gold and silver when they left, and the destruction of the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. And aside from the fact he's the closest to fitting into the 80-year timeline, Thutmose II's mummy, which is on display at the National Museum of Egyptian Civilization, is also covered in scars showing evidence of major cysts that fits with the sixth plague of boils mentioned in Exodus chapter 6. So this is a recant of the claims I made in a previous podcast about Amenhotep, as I am now convinced that Thutmose II was the pharaoh of the Exodus. Thanks for joining me on this podcast, and we'll catch you again.
Thanks again for joining us on our podcast. Please check out our website at opentheword.org. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to receive notifications of future broadcasts. As well, please take a moment to provide a rating and even a review. Thanks again for listening.